WEEL.com.
Hi, this is Larnell Scott with a WMNF community announcement. Superheroes are fun to watch at the movies. However, there are almost 1,000 abused and neglected children in Pasco and Pinellas counties waiting for real-life superheroes to volunteer as guardians ad litem and become their voices. These precious children need volunteers to help them find safe, permanent homes. Guardian ad litem volunteers become superheroes to our community's children. You may learn more at herotoachild.org.
Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. This is Community Radio from West Central Florida, and you are tuned into Executive Session, which is a forum for your discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. I'm John Gilmore. I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday, joined in the studio this afternoon by Mr. Victor Gomez. Good afternoon, Victor. It's a pleasure to have you in here. Victor, go ahead.
Good afternoon, John.
Good to hear from you. Victor is going to be over there madly typing away on his computer and seeing if he can keep this hurtling behemoth in the guardrails. So if you have a question, we need some ancillary information here. Victor's going to go out there and drive it off the wall, as it were. So we welcome all viewpoints here. Civility is required because what we're up to is testing the proposition that our republic will fare better if instead of screaming at each other across the street, we talk with each other over the back fence. And you can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. Ms. Jan Simpson will answer your call. She will get you ready to step out onto the floor and have your say. You can reach us in the studio at dj@wmnf.org by email or 813-433-0885 by text. And that will put you in front of Victor's face over there, and he may frantically wave and let me know that there is material here that we should be put on the air. Be sure and search, by the way, for Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page so you can discuss the day's White House events there as well. We are very, very near 500 people following that page, and we think it would be fun to get 500 people. So, Brett Kavanaugh, nominated to sit for life on the bench of the Supreme Court of the United States, will almost undoubtedly be confirmed by the Senate. I mean, you know, what do you what could you see that in your imagination could keep that from happening? Here's a clip of the discussion of the nomination among Joe Scarborough, Willie Geist, Mike Barnicle, and Michael Steele today on Morning Joe. Before we go into the clip, do you think there'll be any surprises? What is the tone that you expect to hear from this panel? So here is some of the discussion from this morning about the Kavanaugh nomination.
Last night, in a primetime announcement, the president nominated 53-year-old federal appeals court judge Brett Kavanaugh to succeed Justice Anthony Kennedy.
Judge Kavanaugh has impeccable credentials, unsurpassed qualifications, and a proven commitment to equal justice under the law. There is no one in America more qualified for this position and no one more deserving.
Tomorrow, I begin meeting with members of the Senate, which plays an essential role in this process. I will tell each senator that I revere the Constitution. I believe that an independent judiciary is the crown jewel of our constitutional republic. If confirmed by the Senate, I will keep an open mind in every case. And I will always strive to preserve the Constitution of the United States and the American rule of law.
Kavanaugh is a graduate of Yale Law School and clerked for Justice Kennedy. In 1993, he met Kenneth Starr during a Justice Department fellowship and became a key staff member when Starr was the independent counsel investigating the Whitewater and the Clinton-Lewinsky scandals. Kavanaugh helped write the final report to Congress that laid out 11 possible grounds for impeaching President Bill Clinton. Kavanaugh later served as President George W. Bush's White House counsel and then staff secretary before he was nominated to be a federal judge in 2006. Kavanaugh was confirmed at that time by a vote of 57 to 36. Meanwhile, a professor at Yale Law School, Akhil Amar, penned an op-ed in the New York Times in support of his colleague's nomination. It's entitled A Liberal's Case for Brett Kavanaugh. And he writes in part, quote, "In 2016, I strongly supported Hillary Clinton for president, as well as Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court, Judge Merrick Garland. But today, it is hard to name anyone with judicial credentials as strong as those of Judge Kavanaugh."
And he goes on, Willie, to write, other than Merrick Garland and the actual people that sit on the United States Supreme Court, he believes Kavanaugh is most qualified to sit there, and said unlike Justice Scalia, Kavanaugh is deeply immersed in the history of the court and believes that he's as good a selection as any Republican president could make.
Yeah, Senate Democrats were going to put up a fight, whoever this was.
Right.
We know that that fight is coming. They've already talked about that last night. But the truth of the matter is, where there are places progressives will disagree on guns and abortion and presidential power, this is not a wild Judge Jeanine Pirro pick that some people were fearing. This is a very eminently qualified guy. And again, you can disagree with his positions on certain issues, but this is a guy who is qualified for this job. This is a guy who's been supported by President Bush, by Jeb Bush, by John McCain, really, you know, conventional Republicans and establishment Republicans. He's not a wild-eyed choice, and probably smart by President Trump, because he makes it difficult on Democrats when they say the world is coming to an end because of his Supreme Court pick.
Right. It does make it more difficult for Democrats, Mike, to paint him as a wild-eyed fanatic.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And it also puts the Republicans, it puts the Republicans, the two Republicans thinking of voting against a nominee in a very difficult position, as it does the three or four Democrats thinking that they might plausibly vote against him too, because he's such a mainstream pick. And when you have John McCain and you have Jeb Bush and you have W and all these people saying that, and liberal law professors from Yale saying he's as good a pick as you would find other than Merrick Garland, it is hard to paint him as a wild-eyed ideologue.
Yeah, and you would have to have that he is, this appointment has given some comfort to Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski.
Yes.
Joe Manchin, perhaps. But one of the striking things about Judge Kavanaugh's selection last night is I don't think Michael Steele, the White House, could ever have hoped for better optics. This man and his family, a tremendously appealing group of people. The judge himself was certainly not threatening at all in his appearance and his brief speech last night.
Michael Steele.
I mean, Kavanaugh brings to the table a lot of boxes that are going to get checked for red state Democrats, for a conservative base, and for this White House. It's a solid pick. His jurisprudence is one that has been noted 11 times by the Supreme Court in affirming his decisions. So this jurist, this future Supreme Court justice, brings a lot to the table. The politics of this, though, is what is the most striking for me, in that listening to the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, the Democrats have no one to blame but themselves. They McConnell called their bluff in executing the Supreme Court nominee nuclear option with Merrick Garland and others along the way, and the reality now is coming home to roost for them. They don't have the numbers, and the only recourse outside of the protests and the marches and the grandstanding is to take the Senate.
Any surprises in there? Was there was the tone of that discussion surprising for MSNBC and for Joe Scarborough at all? I just wondered. When I did a search this morning, I just typed Kavanaugh, and I did a search, and the whole first page was about abortion. The whole first page, okay? So, and I know that that is a tremendously important issue, and that it's arguable that the reason this man was on President Trump's list was because he is pro-life and has an opinion or an interest in vacating Roe versus Wade. But what do you think of a president being allowed to nominate a Supreme Court justice that could very easily sit in judgment on his case? Including whether he can be indicted. All the legalities of the most complex investigation of any president in modern history. And when you look at the landscape around us and you see what's going on with the confirmation and with the Senate and with the fact that there are there's at least one other octogenarian, I think there are two other octogenarians on the Supreme Court, that if the Senate remains in Republican control, it is not entirely outside the realm of possibility that this president could appoint two more Supreme Court justices. Do you feel the urgency of the midterm elections? What will happen if another justice retires? Do you want this president to nominate another justice? 2-813-239-9663. Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days, and you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Private Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. LaSalle and great.
I hear talk shows where people actually talk to each other.
Welcome to WMNF Tampa.
Astonishing. Good afternoon. We're going to go right straight over to the phones and we're going to talk to Daryl. Daryl, good afternoon. What a surprise.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
All right. Let me go ahead and jump right on in.
Jump on that thing.
Flash. Now, this justice, and I believe you have your fact checker in the studio today.
He is poised above the keyboard.
Poised and ready.
He is,
now. I believe in one of his writings, he was writing that he does not believe that a sitting president should be subject to possible prosecution. I disagree with the judge, and I think that should be brought up. And we need to understand, number one, let me start by, I'm an equal opportunity insulter, so I'm throwing myself in here. We live in a nation of ignorant folk, okay? Ignorant folk. Ignorant means unlearned.
Well, all ignorant means is you don't know stuff. And I believe if you look around in the universe, it's not hard to imagine that we are ignorant about more than we know.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot of stuff, but the reason why I say this, he is not Theodore Roosevelt, who was dragging this nation out of a Great Depression and also trying to get this nation back to work, and then had World War II, which a lot of people did not want this nation to be involved in. Forget what Great Britain had the noose around its neck.
Yeah.
And a lot of things were really hoping, and Roosevelt was hoping something would happen. That's the discussion for another
time. Well, something happened.
He's not Theodore Roosevelt. He's not Harry Truman, should I drop the
bomb? I believe
bomb?
That was Franklin, but go for it.
Yeah. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me.
Oh, Theodore was a good guy, but I think he was well past his prime in World War II.
You got to forgive me. I'm just coming for my treatment.
Oh, well.
And I'm not going to blame that.
Go for
it. Not Harry S. Truman. Okay, the buck stops here. Okay, and I want to drop the bomb. He's not I Like Ike.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. He's not John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Okay? He's not LBJ.
Okay.
He's not Richard Milhouse.
All right. Man, I believe we've caught on to the March of Presidents, Daryl.
The March of Presidents. He's not. Okay. He talks about the Constitution. That's the highest law of this land.
Yeah.
Show me those of you Trump supporters. Where in the Constitution of the United States of America that it says that you are, dependent upon the office that you were in, above the law?
Yeah.
The law was written to help to protect people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say something so bad to Jill Stein supporters, and you need to understand this. You won't believe me. Stop rolling your eyes. Listen, we hear what we want to hear. You see what you want to see, and you think what you want to think. I agree with you. You have the right in this great nation of ours to vote for whoever you want to. But here's the difference between you and me. Listen to what I'm saying. I voted for Hillary Clinton. I think Hillary Clinton, for the most part, is a very smart, educated idiot, because she did not gin up her base, and then she tried to blame Donna Brazile and other people for her failings. You lost to a unknown senator the first time you ran for president. You couldn't win that one. And then the second time around, look at who you lost to. Donald Trump. I knew him. Okay? And then you got somebody, a black intellectual like Cornel West, who went out supporting him. You know why he did it? Because he put dollars in his pocket. Tell me something, all you Stein supporters. If I understand correctly, this man could not even name the name of one leader in a foreign nation. He did not even hold the office of dog catcher.
Daryl, your passion is evident, my friend.
I promise, I'm going to get off. County Commission, State Senator. He didn't even hold one of those things. By the way, don't feel bad. We got somebody like that right now in the White House. Look at what's happening to our nation. I support your right for doing that. You can vote for whomever you want to. That's our right as Americans. You can do that. But will you please accept the consequences of your decisions? I accept mine.
Okay, there you go.
God, have a good day.
Listen, I appreciate it. Bye-bye. 813-239-9663. Lots and lots of ground covered there in Daryl's conversation. We went all the way from Teddy Roosevelt on up. And, you know, that's a lot of real estate. We're going to go and talk to Tom in St. Pete. Tom, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, I appreciate it. Love the show and all the shows. I just want to sort of cynically say, I think this whole situation is a little bit of a point for millennials. You know, we're the ones who voted in Barack, and I feel like the baby boomer generation, a.k.a. what I like to refer to as babies, this is the legacy y'all have. You know, has there been a more destructive generation in this country than the baby boomers, honestly?
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of distinguishing us by generations. And you also have to remember that this generation that we call the baby boomers were the people who are out in the streets to stop Vietnam. They were the people who are out in the streets in the civil rights movement. They were out in the streets on LGBTQ issues early on. Each generation has, there's no question, each generation has its problems and its accomplishments. And I am not in a position to condemn one generation as the worst. So that's my viewpoint.
I actually really agree with you, but I feel like it's unfortunate that Trump is going to be your legacy. You're not yours, but your generation is the one who voted him in. But
yep.
You were, you know, but we
actually only part of my generation voted him.
But you get my point.
Yeah, I see.
It's funny, a lot of these people who call in, they just either deviously or conveniently forget Barack Obama. He's the one who repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Don't even think about it. He's the one who put in gay marriage. He's the one who even did something as huge, I was recalling myself, as the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that
you may find that there was a significant number of us boomers who supported Barack Obama.
And you know what? We are hand in hand, and we'll march together, brother.
Okay. All right. Listen, Tom, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and we will talk again.
Appreciate it. Good luck.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Brett Kavanaugh will sit on the bench of the Supreme Court of the United States for life, if confirmed. Do you think that a president should be able to nominate such a person if that president is in a situation where there may be lawsuits and legal matters that need to be settled in what is undoubtedly the most complicated investigation of at least the modern era? Let's see, going to go over here and talk to Andrew in Hardy County. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Hi, John. I love Daryl's remarks, especially the equal opportunity insulter. I'm down with that every day. And he obliquely brought up a really good point about Hillary Clinton, which was just kind of reinforced with Barack Obama. We do need to remember that there is no left and right at that level,
mm-hmm.
and that the deporter-in-chief and the equal opportunity foreign slayer who said, "We came, we saw, he died, ha, 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 ha," is exactly the same kind of leadership as W.
Mm.
And
as who?
W. George.
Oh, okay.
George Weapons of Bank. Bush. That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
So, yes, we are trying to forget about. I agree. But anyway.
Now, I got to tell you, I never thought I would be nostalgic for George W. Bush. I really didn't.
Well, okay, you're right. Somebody said something about Ike. I just, you know. And to the credit of a Republican, let's remember that he was the guy who warned us about, quote, the military-industrial complex.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Eisenhower was very pointed when he was leaving. He had gotten a very penetrating look at, as a war fighter, and then as a president, had gotten a very, very deep look at how all that was working. And was waving a red flag as fast and as high as he could when he left.
Truly, and we have a lot to be grateful for there. But I wanted to get around to on the question of our current nominee. And, I mean, you're right. You know, MSNBC and especially Joe have clearly defined the left-right spectrum in a new way. He's taken his position, whatever it's been historically, and pulled it about 90 degrees to the right. So congratulations, Joe. We know who you are. But then,
you know, he was a Republican congressman, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, the thing we're looking at there is just, you know, I mean, I can't use the terms on the air.
Yeah, thank you.
Describe that behavior.
I appreciate that.
But it's some kind of kissing. But it's, anyway, on the question of this issue, which is life, Yeah, I want to make a distinction, which is when we talk about pro-life, mm-hmm. I would really appreciate if people who use that phrase would say pro-baby, anti-mother.
Mm.
Because there's no way you can be, quote, pro-life, end quote, and not be anti-mother.
Mm.
And the thing that's left out of this conversation millions of times every week is you're not talking about the baby. You don't care about the baby. It's what you want to do to these young mothers that we need to be talking about.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that basically, but basically, they are advocating forced gestation.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that why The Handmaid's Tale got written?
You know, I probably am one of the three people in the whole world that hasn't watched that. So I am not qualified. I am not qualified to comment on that. And so I'll take your word for
myself.
It.
I've only seen fragments myself, but they get the message across that is forced gestation. You know, you're here to have your owner's babies.
Now I have heard that one before.
Yeah, and I mean that's well, yeah, right. There was this discussion about how Sally Emming going on. NPR yesterday, but let's, you know, the point being that as with the kids from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, who are going around the country making a very good point right now, which is, metaphorically speaking, there is no property right which supersedes the right of human persons to enjoy their lives in peace.
Yeah, well, there was that thing about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I believe they were recognized as a certain variety of rights.
Yeah, it didn't make it into the Constitution, but it was in the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, that's when we were telling people why we were leaving our association with the Brits.
Yes, to escape tyranny.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Isn't it fascinating?
Yeah,
right. So you're looking at a guy who, yes, can absolutely cement himself. He's significantly younger than I am, which really frightens me. But looking at the choices that we will have going forward, it certainly makes, as you pointed out, the upcoming midterms of paramount importance, because one thing we can do about everything that the current president is doing is stop it. And if we can get enough leverage in our legislature, then Mr. Trump still might not finish his term.
Well, I don't listen. I think it would be better of us. I'm gonna move on because we got some other folks that I want to get on. I appreciate your remarks, and we will talk again. I would prefer actually that Donald Trump not go through the paroxysm that is an impeachment. First off, I think it will cast Donald Trump as a martyr, especially to the very far right people. And secondly, it just takes up all the air in the room. I would prefer for there to be a Congress that acts in its proper role as a check and balance on the executive branch. I would prefer at least one House of Congress to be in opposition hands, and that would act as at least a drag chute. And that way we don't have to go through, you know, we don't have to go through what an impeachment would be. We can use the levers and dials already built into the Constitution without having to go to the extreme. And right now we are going to the extreme away from the conversation very briefly. And we are going to bring you some information, about some folks who are assisting you with support of the station, and also about some information about what's going on around here. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus. Since 1985, Happy Feet Plus has been providing healthy footwear solutions, including brands such as Birkenstock, Finn Comfort, and Kenko Massage Sandals. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com. And on August 19th, WMNF will be honoring Tampa Bay individuals and organizations who are sowing the seeds of equality and peace and promoting social, economic, and environmental justice. It's our first ever homegrown heroes celebration. From now until July 15th, you can nominate a person or group as a homegrown hero. Go to WMNF.org for more information and to make a nomination. All right, we're going to beck ourselves right back to the conversation. We're going to take these calls as they came in. We're going to talk to Lynette in St. Petersburg. Good afternoon, Lynette. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yep. I was very interested to hear Daryl's remarks at the opening. First of all, I'm pretty sure he meant FDR and not Theodore.
Yeah, we had a little discussion about that.
Yeah.
Very brief.
And second of all, and this is on the side, I happen to be one of those despicable people who voted for Jill Stein, and I know that people hold me responsible for Trump, but I do not accept responsibility for Donald Trump. I think that the responsibility is in the hands of, number one, those who did not vote.
Mm.
And
yeah, there was a lot of people who could have that just didn't show up.
Exactly. So, and number two, college-educated white women who voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump, which totally amazes me and throws me into paroxysms of doubt.
We've set a record. That's a second use of the word paroxysm in 1 hour on community radio.
Really? Okay, yeah. Yes. About the value of a college education. But that's on the side. I think that the Democrats have basically, the reason that when you Google Kavanaugh, you get a whole bunch of stuff about, the right to life and so on,
mm-hmm.
is I think that basically Democrats have given up on this issue of the Supreme Court. We really don't have a choice. I mean, even though Ruth Bader Ginsburg says she's going to stay in office until Trump is out, she may not have that choice.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that we would be able to stall this this nominee indefinitely,
yeah.
even if we did win the House back.
Yeah, the winning the House back is not going to give us a whole lot of leverage. You're not going to give the I'm a lifelong Southern Democrat, so I use the word us, but I'm obviously not there. Anyway, it doesn't give the Democrats much in the way of leverage if they take the House.
Yeah, exactly. And so,
except that's where all the money comes from.
Well, yeah, but. I just don't think it's going to make the difference on this issue of replacing Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
Because remember, Donald Trump could be here for another 6.5 years.
Yes, he could.
So, and I agree with you about impeaching him. It's not really an option because it would create a whole lot of, it would make him a martyr. It would create a whole lot of people who were very disenchanted,
would take that as evidence that the deep state is plotting against their president, and
exactly.
you know, all like that.
He would be replaced by Mike Pence.
Yeah, there's
That's
that.
Really, not an option.
Yeah, I would prefer not to have Mike Pence in the Oval Office.
What I do think that we can possibly pressure Kavanaugh to do, and what he should do, is recuse himself from voting on the constitutionality of prosecuting a sitting president
Very interesting.
For this administration's term. In other words, he couldn't vote on that issue until the next president came in. Because to me, although he claims to be, you know, very strong about the rule of law, and obviously he's a very qualified person, he's not only, like, subverting the rule of law when he says the president is above the law, but that is the scariest thing in the world, is to have a society that is ruled by someone who literally can do no wrong.
Yeah. Well, the very little that I've read of Judge Kavanaugh's writings has been that he says that the indictment and trial of a sitting president would paralyze the federal government and would actually keep it from doing its job.
Well, frankly, I think that anyone, a sitting president who gets indicted, should have the grace, which I realize is, you know, completely unrealistic when we're talking about this president, to resign so that he can put his attention on his criminal trial and leave running the country to someone who is not compromised in that way.
Yeah, that's an interesting. Also, do you want the federal government to work under the direction of somebody who's being charged with a major crime?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, listen, thank you very much, Lynette. It's always good to talk with you, and I'm glad that we got a chance to speak this afternoon, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Okay, great.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. What do you think? What do you think? Do you feel, given the look around, do you feel the urgency or any increased urgency of these midterm elections that are coming up? If the Senate remains in Republican control, what'll happen to the court if another justice retires? And do you want this president to nominate another justice? So we're going to go and we're going to talk to Robert. Robert, thank you for your patience. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Nothing but patience. I just get more stuff to go on.
Okay.
Listening. You know, it amazes me. You know, they won the election, so they have the right to you know, nominate judges that will uphold the Constitution. I think that's really all they're trying to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it's the left that tries to get, you know, activist judges. And, you know,
what is an activist judge?
Well, they've let the courts do their bidding. You know, well, anyways, let's not even, that's just one of many things. And I don't want to.
Okay. Well, I just wondered because my experience is that when people use the term activist judge, that the translation is they just did something I don't like.
Right. And see, well, that's basically what the left thinks here. They're going to do something you don't like, you know, and that's what it all boils down to. Here's what, though, especially here in Darrell, you know, we've had a whole bunch of people talking about if he's under trial. What Kavanaugh said was, you know, it was something if he was indicted on something he did before he was in office or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you something. I'm going to ask you, first of all, there isn't even a charge looming that anyone knows of. But, you know, we're going way ahead here. He is not on trial. He's not going to be on trial.
No, we don't know that.
All these indictments have nothing to do with him. They're all Manafort, whatever he did. You
know, yeah, Manafort was his campaign manager. Flynn was his national security advisor.
Heels of anything. No one see, you know, not hot on his heels. He hasn't committed any crime.
We don't know that.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know he did. So why?
No, I don't. That's the thing. See, that's how come I say that what I'm waiting for is for the Mueller investigation to be complete.
But I mean, you made it sound like, it wouldn't be right. Number one, it wouldn't be right because you don't even have anything to impeach a man for. So you know what I think the best thing for Democrats to do? Get something to run on.
I want to tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, you just nailed it.
I want two parties, but the way you're going, you know, obstruct, you know, we hate it. I mean, it's obvious. Are you
talking about the Republicans for the last administration?
They did it too, but that's what I'm thinking. See, I don't believe Trump is loved by all Republicans. But,
no.
You know, He is exposing politics for what it is, feet dragging. Like, do you ever hear what everyone's saying? If they can drag this on to get, you know, it's like it's not even about the country or the people. It's about your choice. It's not about what the people. It's you know, they have the right. You know, it's a simple thing. Like when you're a kid, it's not your turn. You know, a guy said it on one of the funny shows. He said, it's not your turn. You got to wait your turn. And you won't get a turn if you keep. So what I'm saying is that I don't hear nothing. I never heard nothing from Hillary. I tell people I wanted to hear her. Like, yep. Why, you know, I see the rally. I never heard her speak to issues that mean anything to people. I've heard people on your shows discussing with another political expert. What do the people want? If you don't even know that, then that's why you didn't win the election.
You know what?
You know, I mean, it's simple. I don't want to see one party, and I'm not in love with Trump's personality, but he's gotten a lot done. You know, Daryl says live with the con. I am living with him, and I like him. He's living with him too, and he's very.
No, wait until it finishes rolling downhill, Robert, before you say you like it.
No, but I'm saying nothing. You know, everything, but that could be with everybody. You know, Obamacare is not very popular among a lot of people. It's
you know that that's not true. It. Do you know that that's not true?
I know a lot of people that got hurt by it. And another woman called the show saying, I know personally and from personal experience. But that's neither here nor there. A lot of people don't like it. And here's the thing. It's not like I voted for.
You know how many Obama people don't like having their benefits cut off?
What, food stamps?
No, when you reach the lifetime cap on your insurance policy. And they stop paying for your treatment just when you obviously need it the most, or when you get to be more expensive than they think they want to pay for, and they don't want to, and they want to cut their medical losses, and they go through and they find out that you didn't report your acne medicine when you rescind you.
We have a big problem with healthcare in this country. We've had it for a long time.
Yep.
And Obamacare, in my opinion, I could be wrong, was not the answer, and a lot of people feel that way. We need something better than that, but that's beside the point. Is unemployment's down, ISIS, he's gotten so far, we're working with North Korea, no one, I mean, there's a lot of things he's accomplished. He ran on the judicial system. He ran.
All right, listen, Robert, thank you very much. I appreciate you bringing that viewpoint in here. It's something that we want to hear and talk about. And with any luck at all, you and I will talk again.
Like I said, you're spending all the time talking about impeaching. You don't even have.
I didn't spend much time talking about impeaching.
No,
I said I didn't want to do it.
I've heard the word impeach all the time, and it's like, you're not, you know, even if you don't know you have something, you're not even close to even being sure you do.
All right.
There's nothing.
All right. Your viewpoint has been well and thoroughly heard. Thank you very much for bringing it. And with any luck, again, we'll talk again. So 813-239-9663 will get you into this conversation. And you can bring your viewpoint to the table, and we will discuss that. But for right now, we're going to bring this to the table. Support for WMNF comes from our members and the Florida League of Women Voters, offering a solar co-op for Sarasota residents with their nonprofit partner, Solar United Neighbors. Co-op participants will receive guidance on going solar. To learn more, the next information session is Wednesday, July 11th at 6 p.m. at the Jacaranda Library in Venice. For more information, go to solarunitedneighbors.org/Sarasota.
I was listening to great talk. Now I'm listening to great music.
Welcome to WMNF Tampa.
Funny you should mention that. You're invited very strongly to stay around for the It's the Music program. this afternoon. DJ Lori Girl is going to be taking you through the afternoon, keeping it melodic and keeping your keeping your mind fed there. We're going to feed your head a little bit and taking you up to the traffic jam where we're going to get you back home so that you can have a nice restful evening. And for right now, 813-239-9663. We're going to go right back to the phones and talk to Steve in Tampa. Good afternoon, Steve. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Yeah, good afternoon, John. I want to respond to Daryl a little bit, if I could. First of all, I'm like Lynette. I voted for Jill Stein, and I do not take responsibility for Donald Trump. What I would say is if Bernie had run, there's a good chance he would have beat Trump. Second of all, it's, very unfortunate that a certain part of the party just tried to force Hillary down everyone's throat.
And yeah, I was really disappointed in how the party handled Bernie.
She referred to black people as super predators.
I am not sure about the context of that, and I think that you should look it up because I don't think that's what she said. I think that she was talking about gang members in certain circumstances, and I think that it has been distorted since then to be one of these memes where they say that she was talking about all black people, and I don't think that's the case. But my point, I think that that the Democrats, if they want to get back in this game, need to stop running on "we're not so-and-so" and start running on a bunch of sentences that start with "we're gonna."
No, what they need to do is they need to modernize their message. They still think that they are back in, like, the early 60s with, all you got to do is vote union and vote Democrat and everything will be fine. That formula worked in 1962, but it doesn't work in 2018. You know, I've had this conversation with Vero before because he's one of those guys that's, still stuck back in the early 60s. All you got to do is support the union and vote Democrat.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking to see, and I got it. You see the Democrats as stale and unresponsive.
Exactly, and they're probably. Trump is probably going to win his second term because I'll bet you they'll put up somebody really, vanilla and I don't know, like maybe Ben Cardin or somebody like that. And Trump will win again. Watch and see.
It'll be. I am very, very interested to see who it is that emerges. And I'm also very interested to see because right now, I mean, unless they decide to hitch their wagon to Hillary again and try that one again, I'm interested to see who emerges in the Democratic Party that is going to be their standard bearer for the 2020 election.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was Ben Cardin. I don't know why, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, there are some folks that I see Swalwell even Cory Booker. There are some folks that I see that are
Cory
that
Booker.
Are
John. That's it'll never happen.
Well, I don't know. It would be interesting just to see. Of course, to see the other thing is that there's an entire Democratic primary season to go through. Before the winner emerges, and what I saw in the last election was I saw my party basically squeeze out a guy who was who to me really represented what the party should have been about.
Yeah, and that's what will happen to Booker. I mean, he may get in the primary. I'll give you that. Sure. But it won't be him up against Trump. It'll be some.
Yeah. Some, well, I wasn't advocating. I was just sort of skimming around on the top of my head to see whose name I could remember. Listen, Steve, thank you very much for thank you very much, and we'll talk again. All right, 813-239-9663. As we come to the threshold of the lightning round, good afternoon, Mike. In Tampa. Good afternoon.
People always talk about Jill Stein supporters and how we should have just accepted what we got. But what they don't see is we did not see a choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. It was really like a choice between being burned alive and being nailed to a cross and survive.
I see.
And there was a call back in the last hour who mentioned Adolf Hitler in Germany. Well, Adolf Hitler came to power because the Social Democrats put him in power.
Hmm.
And everybody said, vote for Social Democrats. And they keep Hitler out of power. That's the way they keep Hitler out of power, to vote for Social Democrats. And the Social Democrats got in, and they made Hitler chancellor.
Hmm.
So one caller last week said on welfare reform that Clinton hadn't signed the bill, the Republicans were going to do away with it all together. And that's just like letting them set the agenda, letting them tell us how things are going to be, and we got to go tweedledee or tweedledum. And I just don't buy that.
Okay. Well, listen, Bill Clinton, as I was observing him, seemed to me to be one of the wiliest politicians that ever sat at the desk, and that what he actually was one of these guys that gives something to get something, and I think that he may have had a point that if he hadn't gone and met them out there in the middle of the field, so to speak, that the result would have been that the whole program would have been just trashed. I don't know.
It's just like he wanted to let them set the agenda. He wanted to get it off the tape.
Yeah.
And I refuse to go along with that. You know, and that's just giving us no choice at all.
Well, that. Mike, maybe why you're not a politician. Uh-huh. Because, you know, politics literally in its most elegant and effective form is the art of compromise.
You've got to be a statesman, and Clinton was not a statesman. He was just go along to get along and not do anything to rock the boat, so to speak. And what we got was nothing.
Okay. All right, listen, thanks for calling in. Appreciate your views, and we'll talk again, Mike.
All right.
Sure enough. 813, well, we are in the lightning round, so we are going to go and we are going to talk to Rick in Largo. Rick, good afternoon. You may have the last word in the executive session this afternoon. We don't know yet. Please say your piece.
Good Lord. How you doing, John?
I don't know.
It's the Trump administration. Drink early and drink often. I still can't believe we're having this discussion on the Roe versus Wade after 40 years.
Yeah.
I thought all this stuff was decided that, you know, a woman should have right to her body.
Mm-hmm.
I've always believed that if you can't make a baby, you really shouldn't have an opinion on this.
Yeah, I think that old white men deciding what young women should do with their bodies is unseemly at best.
Yeah, and I always ask all these pro-lifers, because I respect, you know, their opinion, but I always ask each and every one of them, okay, how many of these little orphan children have you personally adopted? How many foster children are you personally helping out? And I always get the same response of, none.
Yeah.
It's like, you want them to be born, but the hell with them after that.
Yeah, well, then there's the other, I mean, so if you're pro-life, can you be for the death penalty? If you're pro-life, can you support a party that cuts
to war every damn chance they can?
Well, that cuts funding for children to be fed, or for children to have health insurance. You know,
children, I think, it's just another commodity.
Yeah, and then of course from the last hour when we were talking, and when Rob was talking to the lady earlier this morning about war. You know, if you're pro-life,
you've got to be anti-war.
Yeah,
you've got to be anti-death penalty. If life is so important to you, you should revere it. I mean, isn't that kind of what that one guy? Jesus something or other.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, he had some pretty pointed things to say about children and messing around with them, too.
Yeah. A lot of bad things.
Yeah.
Now, if they do take Roe versus Wade, what are they going to do with Elliot Broidy? the RNC finance chief that just had his playmate girlfriend get an abortion about a year ago and got paid off.
Oh. Well, see, that's it. You know, there's an incredible range of things that have to be dealt with in that domain. And basically, my viewpoint is, unless she asks you, just shut up.
And real quick, just on my own paranoid conspiracy, because I'm going with Daryl. And
go quick. We got about 40 seconds.
Okay, Jill Stein. Google image Jill Stein in Russia.
Yeah,
it'd be a very elaborate party. And sitting right next to her is Michael Flynn, and at this table is Sergey Kislyak, Sergey Lavrov, and Vladimir Putin.
All right, Rick, thanks. You wrapped it up. All right, Bob and Kevin, we're not going to get to talk to you this afternoon. Right now, what we're going to do is hand off to DJ Laurie Girl for the It's the Music to take you through this afternoon.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.